Why are Americans staying put? Why aren't we moving across state lines like we used to? We are going to discuss our declining mobility this hour and what that means for the economy. And we would love to hear from you. Anyone this hour who has recently moved to Wisconsin or one of our bordering states from another state? Anyone who is planning on moving out of Wisconsin anytime soon? Or if you live here but would be willing to move somewhere else, but something is stopping you? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, December 19th. We are going to talk about why fewer Americans are moving these days. The percentage of Americans moving across state lines has fallen by about half since the 1990s. We'll explore why and what it means for the economy and welcome your questions and your experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Greg Kaplan, Assistant Professor of Economics at Princeton University. Good morning.
Hi, Joy.
And in fact, I think we are calling you. You're moving around quite a bit because you're in Australia right now.
That's right. I've moved around a lot. I'm originally from Australia, so I'm back here at the moment on holiday. So happy to talk in.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on your holiday. You were quoted in a recent story published in the New York Times that was entitled "Why Are Americans Staying Put?" Give us an idea of how our mobility or our migration is declining.
Well, as you said, so you know, the United States has for a long time been known as a place of great mobility. People move around a lot across states or across labor markets in any given year. But that's been changing substantially over recent decades. So to put it in perspective, in the early 1990s, what economists call the gross migration rate, which is the fraction of Americans who move across state lines from 1 year to the next, was about 3%. Today, that number is about 1.5%. So the mobility rate's roughly dropped in half in a matter of 20 or 30 years.
Yeah. So why is this happening?
Well, the short answer is we don't know for sure. We can rule out a lot of explanations that one might suspect that potentially suggest that this is something harmful for the economy. So one common concern is that this might just be a function of an aging population. So we know that mobility moving across state lines is something that's predominantly done by young people, and people are getting older. So that would lead to a drop in migration. But, you know, we think that those sorts of demographic shifts are not the only thing that's going on. More importantly, two big changes that have taken place over this time, both in terms of labor markets and in terms of the information that people have about other places. So one of the stories one of the things going on that at least we think is very important is what we call a homogenization of labor markets across the United States.
And what does that mean?
Right. So I think the easiest way to see this is with an example. So I like to give the example of actors and bankers. So we all know that if you're the sort of person who's particularly good at acting or likes acting, if you want to maximize the returns on those particular skills or those particular desires, we all suspect that might be best for you to move to California to do that. And similarly, if you're a banker, traditionally, or you like banking or particularly might be good at it, we think that maybe somewhere like New York might be a good place for you to move to. So we think that that's still true. It's just less true than it used to be. There's more opportunities for all different types of occupations, like acting and banking and all sorts of other things, all over the country. And what that means is that there's less incentive, less need for people to move in order to find a place that maximizes their returns on their own specific abilities, their own specific desires.
So then is this decline in our migration really a problem?
Well, I guess if that's what's going on, then the short answer is no. So the idea of this decline in mobility, the decline in migration being a problem, if it is a problem, that really rests on two big ifs. So the decline in migration is a problem if both it's migration is declining because it's more difficult or more costly for people to move, and also if the labor market relies on people moving. So what I mean by that is that if employers regularly rely on people coming in from other states in order to fill their jobs, and if unemployed workers rely on jobs in other states in order to find work routinely, then if it becomes more difficult for people to move, that could be a real drag on the economy. But those are two really big ifs. And the reasons that I just described suggested the first of those, that people are not moving as much because it is now more costly, are potentially not what's going on, that in fact maybe people are moving less just because there's less need to move. And if that's the case, then yeah, perhaps this isn't such a bad thing, that we're seeing fewer moves across the states. I should add as well that migration rates are declining in the U.S., but by global standards, migration rates are still high. They're just not as high as they used to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, when people do move, do we know what types of places they're choosing?
Well, it's really interesting because this trend that we've been seeing is really an across-the-board phenomenon. It's also a phenomenon about what economists call gross migration, not net migration. So this is a trend about people. It's not about people moving to particular parts of the country where there are job opportunities and less of that going on. It's not about, say, a whole bunch of people moving westwards towards California, like during the gold rush. This is about people moving in both directions across states, people moving in all sorts of ways. What we're seeing is decline simultaneously in the number of people moving from California to Texas and the number of people moving from Texas to California. So it really seems to be an across-the-board phenomenon, just that there's less churn, less moving around than there used to be.
Dale on Facebook says, "We would have moved years ago to be closer to our grandchildren and children, but with pre-existing conditions, we would not have been able to get health insurance. Now we can get health insurance, but are so close to retirement, we can't find decent jobs. Once we are both able to retire, our grandchildren will be in or close to college age, and we wouldn't see them even if we moved." I guess Dale is saying that he doesn't really have a job if he tried to move.
Well, that's right, and you know, one of the things that's really interesting about this trend, and this decline in mobility came to the forefront of many people's minds at the onset of this recession, where suddenly, economists woke up and noticed that this was going on, and we started to wonder whether this was a symptom of the weak job market. But if you look a little bit harder at the data, you see that migration was declining in the late 90s as well, when there were lots of jobs around, labor markets were extremely tight. I'm sure there's many people who would move if it were not for if it were easier for them to find a job. At a national level, it seems that this has been going on through all sorts of ups and downs in the economy.
We are talking with Greg Kaplan, Assistant Professor of Economics at Princeton University. We are talking about the factors that are contributing to a lower American migration rate. American migration is down in recent years. Fewer people relocating or crossing state lines to move. We're wondering why this is and what consequences might be in store for the national economy because of this or because of this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'd love to know your story. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking this hour why Americans aren't moving across state lines like we used to. We're discussing our declining mobility and why that is and what it means for the economy. And we'd like to know from you if you have moved out of state recently or moved into state. What was the reason? Do you want to? Is something stopping you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest was featured in a recent article in the New York Times on this declining migration rate in America. Why are Americans staying put? He is Greg Kaplan, Assistant Professor of Economics at Princeton University. Our next caller, our first caller, is John in Madison. Hi, John.
Hello. Yes, the reason that so many are not going to the South or are leaving the area has to do with money. It's got to do with the cost of insurance because of storms and that in the South. People who had condos and different things down in the Florida area and the Panhandle because of the hurricanes and that, they're paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars just to insure these properties, and they are dumping them because of the cost. So in many cases, it's follow the money, and you will see why people live where they do. It's taxes. The different states have different various amounts of income taxes that they pay, and they go where it makes the most economic sense. Other than that, it's where friends and relatives live, and they want to be near them. As people get older and the people age, they either want to live near their friends and relatives, or they stay where they have to because of money.
Right. Thank you, John. But we're discussing this because they're not doing that as much. Professor Kaplan, what about, you say that because of older demographics, maybe that's one reason why we're not moving across state lines like we used to. Do we know, though, when retired people do decide to move, are they not moving south like they used to?
Well, we have, so in terms of those sorts of changes to moving towards particular parts of the country, there are changes like that going on. So the caller is absolutely right. We do see shifting trends in where people move to when they retire, and those things change over time. But the thing to bear in mind is that if we think about people moving in waves from one part of the country to a different part of the country, those sorts of movements are much, much smaller than the general churn that goes on at any point in time. So to put that in perspective, we can compare something that economists like to call net migration versus gross migration. And really all that means is that if we think about for every one person that moves from, say, pick your favorite two states, from Texas to California, there are nine people that move on average in both directions. So that the churn, the people moving back and forth between any two states is much, much bigger than the net flows of people across the country. And so while we do see these changes in where people go to retire, where people move when they start college, where people move to take advantage of trends in the labor market, like for example, recent shift of people into the Dakotas, those things happen, but they're just much smaller than this big churn of people around the country, which is declining and doesn't seem to be as much affected by demographics.
Yeah. I know some cities are trying very hard to spruce up their image and be hip and mod and attract young people. Milwaukee happens to be one of them. Is that something that is needed in this economy?
It's certainly going to be good for the people that it's trying to attract. I mean, it's one more attractive place to move to in the country. If we think about the labor market and think about the trying to get more people into jobs, so these sorts of initiatives are all going to be positive things. But when we think about people moving into jobs, the vast majority of new jobs are taken by people who live in the same place that they currently live. So while we tend to hear the stories about people moving to where the jobs are, those are important, but they're really small compared to just the number of jobs that are created for people living in the places where those jobs are who don't have to move. Because at the end of the day, as the caller said, moving is costly. And for the most part, we'd prefer to be able to find jobs where we are and not have to move to a new city. So these are great initiatives. But in some ways, we'd like to not need to move people around the country to get them into those jobs.
Jim in Saukville is with us now. Hello, Jim.
Good morning.
Morning.
So I think at least one of the contributors as to why people do not need to move is that they don't need to. I'll use an example. My niece just took a job a few months ago in California. She lives in Washington, D.C., but she connects to work in California with a virtual private tunnel and internet telephones, IP phones. And I think technology has done that all over the place. So many of the sales representatives I work with different companies, live in different states and work in Milwaukee. There's no real need to move to work somewhere else.
We're working from our homes more, Professor Kaplan.
Absolutely. I agree completely, and that's exactly what the data show, that yes, in the sorts of jobs where you can telecommute, and of course we must bear in mind that that's not all jobs. There's a certain types of occupations that are more amenable to that than others. We're seeing a decline in migration. I think that's exactly what's going on. I also think that that's an example of these more broader changes that are going on in the economy. It's I guess, a more salient example. What's changing in the labor market is that it's easier for firms to locate their workers in different places. For some of those things, it might be something as simple as telecommuting, have people moving in. But for other examples, it might be the people actually doing the jobs where they are. It's just firms need people all over the country. So a good example is sales. So sales professions are a much bigger part of our labor force than they used to be. And you know, it doesn't matter where you produce. A lot of firms sell throughout the country, so they're going to need jobs across the country. And it's those sorts of changes in the sorts of roles that workers are doing in the production process that have led to this homogenization of the labor markets across the country.
Next, we go to Brian in Milwaukee. Hello, Brian.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I moved back from Wisconsin, from Puerto Rico, of all places, in part due to the fact that my wife is Puerto Rican. My point is that I'm probably an exception due to the fact that I have a multiracial family, which is a little girl, and I was thankfully also able to find employment here in, over in Madison. And I also should point out, per one of the other topics mentioned here, or one of the items brought up, in terms of migration, there's an influx of people coming from Puerto Rico, albeit I'm American in heritage, or born here, but there's a lot of folks coming, so due to economic factors in Puerto Rico, so things are relatively better here, albeit not perfect, but anyway, that's...
No, thank you for bringing that up. What about, do we know about, immigration from other countries to America and how that fits into this?
Well, to be honest, I'm not actually sure about what the trends are in immigration. That would be really really interesting, and if maybe one of your callers knows something about that. What I can tell you is that this fall in movement of people around the country is true for immigrants as well. So we can look at people who have just moved to the U.S. and then have a look at their subsequent moving around the country. And what we're finding is even people who have only been in the United States for 1 to 5 years are also moving around less frequently than people who have lived here for much longer than that.
So is a less mobile population, a less mobile economy, good news in a way for companies because their employees aren't really going anywhere?
Yes. So again, that's a good question because a lot of it will depend on whether that particular company is able to find the sort of workers that they need in where it is that they're located. So if what we're seeing is that this decline in mobility is not showing is not occurring because of an increase in costs, then that's going to be good news for firms. It means that it's not that it's more costly for people to move to where they are. But if people are not moving, it was the labor market that was causing them to move in the first place. So I guess what this means for employers is that it's good news on the one hand because it means that their workers are not facing any higher costs. But on the other hand, it means that if there's other reasons that people want to move that have nothing to do with the labor market. So our first caller mentioned that there's a lot of other reasons why people want to move. You want to move to be close to your family. You want to move because you might have a particular preference for a certain type of lifestyle. Well, because you can now find jobs all over the country, it's easier for people. That's the reason why it's easier for people to move to those places that they have the best non-labor market reasons for wanting to live at. And that might be, on the other hand, make it harder for local firms to retain their workers.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about why fewer Americans are choosing to relocate across state lines. That has been declining since the 1990s, and we're talking about why and what it means for the economy. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is coming up on 6:37 on this Thursday, December 19th. We are talking about why American migration is declining. Fewer people choosing to relocate or cross state lines. We're talking with an economist about the factors contributing to this and what the consequences might be for the national economy. And we're welcoming your story. We'd love to hear from you. If you have recently moved to Wisconsin or one of our bordering states, what prompted that move? Is there anyone listening who is planning on moving out of Wisconsin? Tell us why. Or maybe you live here. You want to leave, you'd be willing to leave, but something is stopping you. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Also curious what factors you consider when deciding whether to pick up and move. Our guest is Greg Kaplan. He is an assistant professor of economics at Princeton University. He was interviewed for a recent story in the New York Times on the declining migration rate in America. This is attributed to the labor market to some extent. It's attributed to our aging population for another reason. And it's also, our guest is saying, probably due to the homogeneous labor market in the United States. And for those listeners just joining us, Professor Kaplan, tell us again why the labor market in America is more homogeneous than it used to be.
Right. Well, the change that we think we've seen in the labor market over the last 30 years is that whereas it used to be the case that people would go live in places that kind of specialized in the type of occupations and the type of skills that they were good at or that they wanted to do, today the sorts of types of jobs, the types of occupations, the types of skills that are awarded are more similar across different parts of the country. And what this means is that for people who want to work in particular occupations, there's less need for them to move to the places where those occupations are most predominant. So the example that I gave earlier is that of actors in California and bankers in New York. Well, it's still the case today that if you want to be an actor, you're better off moving to California, and if you want to be a banker, you're better off moving to New York. But that's less important in terms of earnings than it used to be. And for that reason, there's less incentive for people to move, and we're seeing less of it as a result.
Yeah, and what about those of us who are in our dream job and we love it and we don't want to move? We want to stay put. Isn't that a reason why we might be staying put?
Yeah, and well, yeah, absolutely. So let me say two things. So one is that, labor market's not the only reason why people move. We don't only move for a job. Sometimes we move for family reasons. We move for location reasons because we might just have preference to be near a coast or preference to be near the mountains or near lakes or so forth. And one of the other changes that we think is going on that's contributing to this decline in mobility is that people have more information today. They're better informed about how much they might enjoy living in these different types of places than they were in the past. So why is this? Well, we think part of it's the internet. You want to know what it might be like to live in Florida? Well, you can just get online and Google. You can have a look at what it might look like exactly where you might live. But we also think it's the other changes. So there was deregulation of the telecommunications industry and deregulation of the airline industry have made long-distance communications and travel much cheaper than it used to be. And as a result, it's much easier for people to visit places, find out what it might be like to live there before actually moving there. And as a result, we're seeing less people moving for what we call experimentation reasons. You know, moving around when you're young just to see how it's like, what it's like to live there. So we think less of that is going on because people don't need to do it as much as they used to.
I see. At first I was thinking, well, then wouldn't we be moving more if, information and travel is so cheap? But you're saying we'll visit and say no thanks.
Right, yeah. So a lot of that moves that go on, they tend to be about young people, and they often tend to be what we call repeat or onward migration. It's a set of people that move a lot. So people who've already moved once are more likely to move again. So there's a lot of experimentation, people finding out that, you know, it might be nice to try living here, see if we like it, try the next place. There's less of that going on because now it's easier. If you want to try out spending some time in California, well, you can visit there twice as often now, and it will be less than half as cheap to do that. And as a result, there's less of these unneeded moves that turn out to be undesirable after the fact.
Let's go back to the phone. Sam in Waukesha is with us. Hello, Sam.
Hello. I'm actually one of the people looking to move away from Wisconsin. I love the state, but there's a lot better recreational opportunities for me elsewhere. I'm a rock climber, and we don't have all that much rock here. And there's also more lucrative job opportunities in my field for me.
Yeah, and what is the field, and where do you want to go? To the Rocky Mountains or what?
I'm an arborist, and anywhere out east or out west, pretty much.
Yeah, so what is anything stopping you, Sam?
Right now, it's just money.
Yeah, so you want to get a better job, but there's not that job to get?
There is. I just need to build up some capital before I go.
Oh, all right. I don't understand, because if you get a good, better job with a higher paying job, wouldn't that help you relocate?
Yes, but all of the expenses associated with moving, I need to get a new car before I go. I need to have rent saved up before I go.
All right. Well,
and all of that.
So does that play into it? It sounds like Sam might be a little bit younger, needs to establish more savings before he would do something like that. Professor Kaplan?
Yeah, I mean, Sam's absolutely right in that moving is a costly exercise. Yeah, you know, I can tell. I've moved. I've lived in four different states. I'm well aware of it. I know it firsthand. It does cost money to move. To relocate yourself, it takes time as well to get yourself settled, and that can be some lost earnings as well. So moving is a costly exercise, and this is exactly the reason why economists and myself and my co-author included initially suspected that the decline in migration we were seeing was a result of the recent recession. That migration is costly, people have less disposable income, you're going to see people moving less. And that's a little bit of why we were surprised to see that, in fact, this trend in migration had been going on for much longer than that, through booms as well, and why it was more surprising to find out that it's unlikely that this decline in migration is solely associated with the recession. And Sam's right, we do see a drop-off in mobility in recessions. In downturns, we see less people moving, and I think it's exactly for those reasons. It is more costly for them to do it.
Tyler on Facebook says, the decline is because of poverty. You can't move if you can't afford it. I would love to be able to move closer to the heart of the industry that I'm interested in, but it's just not financially possible. Kind of a dilemma. It's also negatively affecting the economy as an effect. How is this affecting our economy? Is it keeping it sluggish, Professor Kaplan?
Well, the short answer is we don't know for sure, but we think that it's probably not playing a big role in the sluggish economy. And we think that mostly because we've seen migration dropping even through upturns in the economy. In the 1990s, the economy was booming and migration was dropping. And the second reason why we think that it's unlikely that this drop in mobility is affecting the economy's recovery is that the vast majority of new jobs are taken by people who live in the same state. And while it would be great to find jobs by moving to other states, we can't really rely on that. And in the past, the economy hasn't relied on those sorts of moves in order to get workers into jobs. It's a small fraction of the overall churn in the labor market, these moves across state lines.
Can you give us some sense with all we've heard about, you know, good, high-paying, you know, manufacturing jobs that used to be plentiful in many states have moved overseas and we're shifting to more of a service economy. A lot of people are in lower-paying jobs or multiple lower-paying jobs. And while there is the knowledge economy and the, you know, still the affluent jobs out there, they're not as plentiful as the low-paying jobs. Does that play a role in this?
Well, that's certainly a recent trend in the economy. There's no doubt about it that there's really important changes that have been going on and affecting many, many people. We don't think that those are that related to these changes in mobility. And the reason is that we see this decline in migration even amongst high-paying service workers, the workers who weren't in manufacturing. The people who move the most are the college-educated workers. It's the young college-educated workers who even 30 years ago predominantly weren't going into the sorts of jobs that have disappeared. So while I think that is a really important challenge for the economy and something that we need to be concerned about, migration, the decline in migration, is probably not a symptom of that underlying change. It's rather a symptom of some other changes in the economy that are less sinister things that we need not worry about as much.
We are talking about why more Americans are staying put, and we're welcoming your questions and your reasons for moving or not. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. According to the Census Bureau, the percentage of Americans moving across state lines has fallen by about half since the 1990s. Why is this, and what does it mean? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes before 7 on this Thursday, December 19th. We are talking with an assistant professor of economics at Princeton University, Greg Kaplan, about why American migration is declining, why fewer of us are moving across state lines. And we're welcoming your questions and your stories. Philip in Green Bay is next. Hello, Philip.
Hi there. I am a truck driver, and I can work for anybody I choose to in the country, but I prefer to stay in Wisconsin, and that's because this is where my primary health care provider is and my grandson.
All right. So, and are you from Wisconsin, Philip? And
I was born in Green Bay. I've lived in Phoenix, Illinois, several places in Wisconsin, but mostly I come back here. I do have a wonderful woman in my life. She lives in eastern Ohio. I see her as often as I can. But like I said, my primary reason is for my health care and for my grandson. That's why I'm still here.
No, thank you very much for sharing that. So health care and family. I'm guessing health care is something that people are concerned about losing. Should they change jobs, Professor Kaplan?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's something that, to be honest, it's something that we need to look into a little bit more detail about whether there have been changes that have affected how strong those ties are. But you know, On the family side of things, we look at people's reasons for being where they are, and family is a really, really important reason. And some of the changes in the labor market that we're talking about are exactly making it easier for people to be with their families because they're able to find the sorts of jobs that they need to wherever it is in the country that their family are located.
Mm-hmm. Nancy emails, I think part of the reason for less mobility is less tolerance for risk-taking, and people are less optimistic. What about that?
That's a really interesting idea. Certainly moving is risky business. We know we certainly have to, we don't know how much we're going to enjoy living somewhere, and if it involves taking a new job, we all know that that comes with some risk. We don't know how that's going to work out for us. So if it is true that people have become less risk tolerant, then that would result in a decline in migration. There's some of the other factors that we talked about, people having access to the internet, people being able to visit more cheaply before they move, maybe spend some time there. All those things suggest that people are able to do things that reduce some of that risk, and perhaps they face less risk today than they did in the past in terms of these moves.
And then there's those of us who, after our last move, never ever want to deal with that hassle again.
Something I can relate to, for sure.
Sue in Watertown is with us. Hello, Sue.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have moved from Wisconsin to Colorado, lived there 16 years, moved back to Wisconsin, and now I'm really considering moving back to Colorado. And I know all the pitfalls. One of them is my networking. I need to get a new dentist, a new doctor, a new plumber, a new mechanic. And that's just a big job. But I'm getting older, and my family is in Colorado. And when I'm too old and can't drive and can't do some things for myself, I need family to help me.
Right. Yeah, that's what they're there for, Sue. So that's why you're considering moving back, because that's where most of your family is.
Right. Yeah. And I'm going to do it. I have a horse, and when I quit riding and he dies, I'm going.
Yeah, well, when you're established in a place, it's not just the hassle of moving boxes, Professor Kaplan. All that networking, as Sue puts it, is difficult.
That's right. There's a lot. It's not just the financial cost. There's a lot of time cost that goes into moving. You lose. I used to joke with my family that every time we move, it's a month out of our life just finding all those things that you need. There's networks, there's doctors, there's colleagues, and all those things. It takes time.
Let's go to Alex in Stoughton now. Is it Stoughton, Alex?
Yes, it is indeed.
Okay.
My question for the guest is: are there states that are more concerned than others about retaining their in-state talent? I know that when I was young and applying to my undergraduate education, there were some lawmakers who said, you know, please stay in Wisconsin, go to school in Wisconsin, and then when you graduate, come and work in Wisconsin. So I was wondering if there are other states that say, you know, please don't leave, please stay here, because they're more concerned, and if there are those initiatives, should those states be concerned that people are leaving? Are some more vulnerable than others?
Hmm? Professor.
Yes, so those are really important issues. I would say that all states care about those things. Just some are better at it than others. Some are more effective. They all try, and just some have done better than others. It's really important for states to not lose their best and most talented people. So Pennsylvania, Texas, California have been good in recent years, but this is something that at the end of the day, this is what we call a zero sum game. One state's gain is going to be some other state's loss. So, from a national perspective, this is just shifting people around. We want to make sure that people are in the best place for them. From any individual state's perspective, these are really important issues to try and keep your most talented people.
Do you know from your research, Professor Kaplan, if there is what some people dub a brain drain going on, that some states are educating these really bright up-and-comers in, you know, whatever, science, technology, anything else, and then those people move to where the jobs are because the jobs aren't in their state. It sounds like if we're becoming more homogenous, that's changing.
Yeah, so that is true. There are certain cities, certain labor markets that have been more successful than others at becoming hubs in certain kind of high knowledge fields in information technology and in health research and so forth and pharmaceuticals. So that's certainly going on, and I think right at the top end there are places that are doing better than others. It does sound like it's a little bit at odds with this homogenization hypothesis, but this idea of the economy getting more similar is something that is something a little bit broader than that, going all the way down the skill chain into jobs that are not right at the cutting edge of their research or the real frontier of their fields. And there I think that there's those sorts of jobs are becoming more equally spread out around the country.
Nancy and Amory is with us. Hi, Nancy. It sounds like you would like to move.
Yeah, what our plan is, well, I'm on disability, and my husband works at a correctional facility, and he's hoping he can retire in 2.5 more years and keep a small home here where it's near our family and our grandchildren for the summertime, and then move to Arizona to a retirement park for the winter time.
Yeah, especially thinking about that with this big snowstorm coming to Wisconsin in this early cold winter. Are there still, we have less than 30 seconds, Professor Kaplan, the snowbird thing, go to another state for the winter and then come back to your home state when it's nice out.
I can't tell you if that's been changing or not. Given the weather that you've been experiencing, it seems like a good time for people to be doing that.
Thank you very much for being with us.
No problem.
Greg Kaplan, Assistant Professor of Economics at Princeton University. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster, to Robin Cherry, and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.